Psalms chapter number 11, and while you're turning this morning, we have a lot of visitors here today, and I know there's no way we could recognize all of our visitors here this morning, but I do want to say that we are thankful for every one of you that are here in the service with us today. Thank you for taking time to come and to be a part of this special service, and also it's good to have Brother Tim and Miss Karen Williams with us today, amen, and we're so thankful y'all are able to be in the service with us and come all the way down here from Virginia, and of course to see family, but are in the service with us this morning. And then I want to say also it's good to have my neighbor, Brother Mr. Harris, with us here today, and he lives at the end of our street. He's a veteran, served in the Army, and we talked, I think, last week, and my wife and I invited him to come, and I was so thrilled to see him come in this morning. And he lives at the end of the street, lives in the oldest house on our street, built back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, somewhere along that era there, and is doing a wonderful job fixing that house up. But we sure appreciate you being in the service this morning. More than so, we appreciate you serving our country. Amen. And so this morning, if you're able to stand, Psalms chapter number 11 this morning, Psalms chapter number 11, and a few weeks back, I don't remember how far back it was, Brother Caleb and I was talking about putting up some patriotic banners, and he just said, what kind of theme would you like to have? And I'll tell you, I wrote down two or three and sent to him, but this theme just stuck in my heart, In God We Trust. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know what, that's what I'm going to preach on, God willing, this morning. And the Lord just gave me this thought and a few weeks back. And so I want to give you what God laid on her heart this morning. In God we trust. Psalms chapter 11, you'll notice it in the first phrase of this psalm. David said, In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name that you would help us. I ask this morning that you would touch us and give us liberty to preach as you spoke to our heart. I ask you, Lord, to save that sinner that's nearest hell. Encourage those that are discouraged. Strengthen the weary this morning. God, as we leave, I pray that we'll say it's been good to be in the house of God. And Lord, may we leave with a greater appreciation for Calvary, a greater appreciation for your Son, Jesus, and Lord, a greater appreciation for this land that you've allowed us to live in today. God, we ask now for your divine hand to work in our midst, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Psalms chapter 11 fits very easily and very naturally in the early life of David. It is a time when David is living in the court of Saul. And when you know, if you know anything about the life of David, you know that shortly after David had defeated Goliath, that David faced some very difficult times. He faced a greater giant and he faced a greater enemy living in the palace of Saul, more so than on the battlefield facing the Philistine. In fact, if you take the early life of David, it can be broken up into three different parts. The first part is you see David as a young shepherd boy in the country. And it was there that those are the formative years of David's life. And then David goes from in the country to in the court of Saul. And in the court there, it is the fateful years of David's life. For David got up every day not knowing what one day would bring to another. He did not know if he would live or if he would die, if Saul would accept him, or if Saul would throw a javelin at him. So David goes from the country unto the formative years to his life, to Saul's court, and to the fateful years of his life. And then there is in the cave where David experiences the fugitive years of his life, where David is on the run for his life. He's been anointed to be the king, but he looks like anything and everything but a king. He is literally a fugitive captive with a few ragtag men that are loyal and faithful to him, and David is simply running for his life. It was in the country that David learned about worship, amen, as he sat in the fields and overlooked those sheep that Jesse, his father, had put him over. David learned how to write psalms and play his harp and worship the God of the field and the God of the sheep. He learned about the great shepherd that he wrote about in Psalms chapter 23. And so it was in the country that David learned about worship, and David learned how to love God. Amen. But as David leaves the country and goes to that court, David learns something different than worship. But David learns about wisdom, and he learns in that court of Saul how to limit himself. He has learned how to love God, but now David has to learn how to limit himself. He's been promised the throne. He's been promised the kingdom. But David doesn't go straight to the throne, from the field to the throne. David's got a lot of battles he's got to face. And my friend, if he's going to make it, he's going to have to not lean to his own understanding, but in all of his ways, he's going to have to acknowledge God and learn godly wisdom. And so in the court, David learns about wisdom, and he learns how to limit himself. Then David in the cave, he learns about warfare, and he learns how to lead men. God is training David to be a leader. You see, before David could become God's king, listen, the Israel had a king, Saul, but David was not Israel's king. David was God's king. And before David could be God's king, he is going to have to learn how to love God. He is going to have to learn how to limit himself, and he is going to have to learn how to lead men. He is going to have to know what it was to be on all levels. Amen. You see, in the country, God made David into a saint. It was in the court of Saul that God made him into a servant. But it was in the cave that God turned David into a soldier. And David knew what it was by the time he got to the throne, how to be in the footsteps and the shoes of those men and those that would before him. That's the setting of Psalms chapter 11. David is now running for his life. He's been through these experiences that we have just mentioned. And when we come to Psalms 11, I want you to note this. I want you to note that, number one, David is facing trouble. Amen. Can you identify with that this morning? I'm telling you, we live in a world that is full of trouble. Job said in Job 14 and verse 1 that man that's born of woman is a few days and he's full of trouble. We live in a troublesome time, and we're living in a troublesome land. And it really doesn't matter how old or how young you are. We're all, my friend, facing trouble. And David is facing trouble in Psalms 11, but he's not just facing trouble, but he's feeling threatened. Amen. If you look at verse 2, he said, "Lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon their string that they may shoot privately at the upright in heart." There's people wanting to take David out. David don't just face trouble, but David is feeling the threats that's coming from Saul and coming from Saul's kingdom. Amen. I'll tell you something else about Psalms 11 that we want to deal with this morning. David may be facing trouble, and David may be feeling some threats, but I want you to know this morning that David is fully trusting God. Amen. Look at that first phrase. He wants to make an announcement in spite of what he faces and in spite of what he feels. David says, "In the Lord put I my trust." Amen. I'm telling you, if you could bring it down to modern day language, he would say what you see on that banner this morning: "In God we trust." Amen. And we may live in a wicked country full of liberals and full of heathens, but I'm glad God's still got a crowd. He's still got a generation. He's still got some people in this country, my friend, that still got their faith and their hope and their trust is in God this morning. Amen. In God we trust. Hallelujah. On February the 22nd, 1864, Congress approved adding "In God we trust" to the 1 cent and the 2 cent coin. Later that year, they would come out in that 2 cent coin first. Here's where they would first see the phrase, "In God we trust." It's been widely accepted down through the years and was put on all the currency. And I understand this. this morning, you may say, well, now, preacher, they don't believe that anymore. And I know there's a lot of them that don't. But I want to raise my hand and say I do this morning. What you see on our currency this morning is exactly what I believe. I believe it's exactly what you believe. And regardless of what Washington thinks about it, regardless of what they say about it, I'm telling you what made America great. It's not a president. It is God Almighty. Hallelujah. And in a day when politicians that may be crooked and preachers that may be compromising and people that may be cold and calloused and indifferent this morning, I'm glad God is still on the throne. I'm glad we still got our God this morning. He's still large and in charge, and we can put our faith and our trust in Him today. And David does not let the circumstances that surround him limit his faith this morning. It does not matter that the king is not trusting God, for Saul was trusting in himself. Many of Saul's soldiers and his servants were trusting in Saul and putting faith in Saul. They would take David out if Saul commanded it, and they were on Saul's side. But in spite of what David was going through nationally, in spite of what he was going through politically, do you understand that David is fighting a spiritual battle, but he's also fighting a political battle? I'm telling you, from within of the kingdom, there is turmoil just like today. We're fighting a spiritual battle, but we're also fighting a political battle. Amen. I know a lot of pastors today, and I'm not being critical, they'll answer to God for whatever they do, but I know a lot of pastors today that say, well, I'm not going to say anything about politics. One preacher said a while back, he said, you know, but listen, politically, you're not supposed to tell people who they're to vote for. I said, I reckon I might get in trouble, is all I can tell you, because before I get silent and just say, well, I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this morning, amen. I don't think you're that dumb anyway. We're not voting for Biden. Can we get an amen right there? I'm telling you, if you'd vote for him, you're crippled too high for crutches, friend. I'm telling you this morning, you say, well, who are we going to vote for? Mickey Mouse? No, I reckon we're going to vote for Donald J. Trump. And I'm telling you, if that rubs a cat the wrong way, you just turn the cat around. This morning, you can like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it, amen. It don't make no difference. What I don't think, I'm not going to take a half a baby aspirin to worry about some Democrat or some liberal getting torn out of the frame, because we need somebody in this hour that'll stand up for America, that'll stand up for freedom, that'll stand up with a backbone. You say, I don't like that, you can go somewhere else and get some watered down sermon any day of the week, but brother, I'm telling you, it's high time that we stand up and we be counted for the cause. Hallelujah. I like that kind of preaching myself. I like it when people like it, and I like it when people get irritated. So if you're mad, you're still making me happy this morning, amen. Good preaching will irritate you every now and then anyway. You need to get your blood pressure up a little bit. That way you won't go to sleep while I'm preaching, amen. I'm telling you this morning, we're living in the most liberal, loose society we've ever lived in, where nobody wants to say nothing about anything. Everybody's so ultra sensitive and scared to death. I'm telling you that somebody's going to get mad. Somebody's going to get offended. I want to tell you this morning, I'm not running for office anyway. I'm not looking for a vote. I'm not taking a poll, amen. Just a good old King James Bible and common sense will take you a long ways in this life if you'll believe it and listen to it, amen. I still believe it, and I believe with all my heart. And the only thing that's going to set America straight is some old-time preaching without apology, with the right spirit. And I love the Lord, and I love you this morning. And I think this morning people want to hear the truth. Amen. I don't think people want somebody to come in and pat them on the head and give them a little sissy sermon. Amen. Some little sugar stick and tell everybody how wonderful the country is and how great all the politicians are. I don't think you're that ignorant this morning. Amen. By no means. But I'm telling you what will help. You go back and read the Old Testament. When God wanted to say something to a king, he didn't send a politician to tell another politician. He sent a man of God. He sent a preacher. Amen. I still believe that this morning. I believe the highest office in this country is not the office of the president, but it's those men that stand in the pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they have a mandate that's from another world, and they preach this old black book. I'm telling you, that's what kept this country right. Hallelujah. when we preached on sin, amen. And we preached on the cross, and we pointed people to Calvary, and we cried aloud, and we spared not, and we called out politicians, my friend, and we called out anybody that lived in sin. It's what brought revival to our nation. And in God we trust, don't we? I like straight preaching, don't you? I don't want the watered down mess. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a place where it's going to be politically correct, you're going to be sadly disappointed this morning, because I'm not trying to be political. People say, you can't say that no more. I've been saying it all my life, and I'm not going to quit saying it, amen, because some doctor bottle stopper came along and changed the terminology and said, now you can't say that, amen. I'm going to say it anyway, amen. That's what's wrong with us today. They want to silence us. They want to lock us up in our homes. They want to lock us up in jail. I'm telling you, friend, listen. That whole crowd, I hope they get saved, amen. But they can go to Russia for all I care this morning. I'm not going to change, and by the grace of God, you're not going to change. My friend, we're still going to do what we've always done, because it's still right. And David isn't backing up in this psalm, and you and I are not backing up, amen. I'm trying to get to the message this morning, but I want you to know that we still trust God today. Preacher, do you believe in living by the laws of the land? I sure do. I believe if a speed limit sign says 55, you shouldn't do 56, but don't ask me if I've done 56. You go some places, you got to go up on grace and come back on law. Amen. I believe in obeying the laws of the land. But I have a real problem when their law and their mandates overrides this law. Because our loyalty is to the Word of God. Amen. Not talking about starting a riot. I'm not talking about stirring up trouble this morning. But if you'll notice in this psalm, David didn't stir up trouble. Trouble came to David because David wouldn't bow and David wouldn't bend and David wouldn't compromise. And I promise you in this hour, all we got to do is stand in our pea patch and stand our ground. And the battle's coming. It's already here on the forefront. It's just going to intensify. And the only thing that's going to help us, my friend, is someone to just stand in the same place you've always stood where you first started standing. Amen. We can't have a bunch of lily livered, amen, compromising. Listen, weak kneed noodle back Christians that just want to blend in and fall in. My friend, we got to stand firm. We got to stand tall. We got to stand for what's right. We got to have conviction, amen, without compromise. We've got to stand where we've always stood. Hallelujah. People say, well, can't you just bend a little bit? This book ain't bending, we're not bending. And I see David in this psalm, he trusts in God. I want you to notice three quick things and we'll be through. I want you to see, when David said in the Lord, put I my trust, in God we trust. I want you to notice three things this morning concerning that thought. Number one, I want you to see fear conquered this morning. Because David in verse 1 is resting. In spite of what people are saying and doing, David is resting in that phrase, in the Lord put I my trust. This is a personal phrase. It's a very plain phrase. But David said, just everybody hush a minute. You got your arrows out. You're telling me to flee to a mountain as a bird. And David said, I'm just going to go ahead and make a statement before anybody speaks. So, well, Saul's after you. Can't you see what is happening? David, don't you need to think? No, David said, I want to make an announcement. I'm not resting in Saul. I'm not resting in my arrows. I'm not resting in my mighty men. He said, in the Lord put I my trust. David is resting, and then David is rebuking. Look what he said in verse 1. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? They were telling the people telling David, you need to run. No doubt some good people. No doubt some people that loved David. But they weren't walking in faith. They were walking in fear. And listen, David said, I'm not running. David used wisdom. But David said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. God is going to take care of me. How say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. Listen, that would be a weak sign. Amen. But David said, I'm going to keep trusting God to take care of me. You know, sometimes in this world, you just got to stand up and look adversity and look problems in the face and say, I'm not backing up. I'm not giving in. I'm not moving. Amen. That's not being a smart aleck. That's just taking a stand. I see David's resting. I see David rebuking. I see David revealing. Look at verse number 2. He said, how say? He said, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. I'm going to tell you where we're at in America this morning as a church and as Christians. There's problems and trouble without. There's problems and trouble within. Sometimes you might sit in church and you might say, well, Brother Gravely, you just think it's got to be your way or no way. I really don't believe that if you know me. But what I do know this morning is this, because I've seen it and I know it's a fact, that if you don't provide strong leadership on any level, whether it be the home, whether it be the church, or whether it be our country, there will always be a crowd that will run slap over you. Or you could ask any one of these deacons after service. Hey, Brother Gravity, does he ever listen to what your input is and things you have to say? I'll tell you what they'll tell you this morning, and I could have one or two of them testify. They'll tell you that most of the time he'll lay out what's on his heart, but he does give an ear to what they say. We talked about something today, and I gave an ear. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, you have to have the attitude that the buck stops right here. Amen? Now, I hit a snag when I said that. But I'm going to tell you why I said that. Because when we get to the judgment seat and we stand before God, you know who's giving account for everything that goes on around here? Brother, I take that seriously this morning. It don't have to be my way, but it will be God's way. Is that right? I don't care if a hair lips a whole outfit this morning. I'm not talking about you in general. I'm talking about people that want to roll in and say, well, we need to change a few things around here. Man, them people, they're nuts. Can I get an amen right there? I think they're going to roll in here and we're changing because they showed up. I mean, you better find them another place to roost. Are y'all still with me this morning? And some people come in and they'll get a little bit of a crowd that'll follow them. And all of a sudden they got a little something to say. You better beware about that crowd. They'll poison you against leadership. They'll poison you against good Christians in the church. They'll pour a bunch of garbage in your ear and they'll let their personality swoo you in and suck you in. All of a sudden you'll think they're the most greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm going to tell you something. It blows up every single time. You give it just enough time. I promise you it never lasts. Amen. What you and I better do is look around and see the people that has not changed, the people that have not moved. It doesn't mean we can't change. I understand that. But I tell you, I look at the people that's always been steady in my life, the people that's always stayed the same, the people that's always hold the same row. I'm telling you this morning, we are living in a day when people, they don't want a pastor. They don't want somebody that's going to run the church. And my friend, lead the people. They want a puppet. They want somebody that'll come in. And listen, there's trouble on the outside, sure, but there's people that'll shoot privately at you on the inside. Amen. See, David in Psalms 11, he ain't fighting the Philistines. He's fighting Saul's servants. He's fighting Saul. Boy, I hit a snag, so I got to just keep plowing this thing out. Because there's one I know, church, and you know this too. It won't take 30 days for this thing to go belly up in this society. You know that's right. You say, what never happened in this church? Oh, I've seen it happen in churches stronger than this church. All it takes somebody coming in here and people falling head over heels over them. Don't fall head, you're not, but I'm telling you, don't fall head over heels for the pastor. Don't fall head over heels for some member. I'm saying you got to watch that outfit that come in. David's revealing, and part of a man of God's responsibility is to rebuke. It's to encourage, but it's to rebuke, and it's to reveal some thing. You know, I look back through life, and I thank God 1,000 times over. Brother Ladd, don't you thank God for Brother Milford Biddle and sitting under, Brother Danny sitting under Brother Biddle all them years and hearing that preaching. And I'm going to tell you something. I heard Brother Biddle preach when I was a teenager. Heard him as a young man coming up. He'd skin your hide in a heartbeat. He'd love you. And he he'd pray for you. But I'm telling you, when God gave him a message, amen, he'd drop it, amen. He wasn't asking no questions about it when it was over with, amen. I'm telling you, I thank God for preachers like Brother Allen. I thank God for preachers like Brother Ballou. I thank preachers like Brother Barnes sitting here this morning. Other great men of God that'll just drop the hammer, amen. You know, I want it to be around here. I want a man to be able to come in this pulpit, as long as he stays in the bounds of this King James Bible, I want him to be able to preach on anything and everything that's in this book, amen. I want it to be a church by the grace of God where we can take preaching, amen. I'm telling you, some people can't handle it. Some people ain't going to swallow it. Some people's going to get mad about it. And I'll tell you, if you'll just stay under it and stay with it, you know what it'll do for you? It'll strengthen your Christian life. It'll salvage your home. I promise you, those men that preach hard love you and pray for you and hold you up and have your best interest in mind. Well, I'm telling you, I thank God for old time preaching. Amen. I thank God for leather lung men of God. Woo! And got full of the Holy Ghost and preached my devil out of my heart. And my friend preached on sin and helped me along life's way. Amen. That's right this morning. Man, I feel like preaching to 1 o'clock. Now, I'm not going to. I'm not promising you I won't neither. Amen. David's revealing. David is recognizing. Look at verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Those foundations there that David's talking about, it's justice and righteousness. In other words, David's saying, if Saul the king is against me, and if he's not going to do things right and just, if he's just going to do things crooked, amen, doesn't that sound familiar? If the foundations are destroyed, what can we as the righteous do? Hey, if they want to pass their laws in this country and they want to make abortion legal and same-sex marriages legal, all that's an abomination before God. I'm going to say it 1,000 times over, amen. I don't care what they say about it. It's stench in the nostrils of a holy God. God said in this book that he made a male and he made a female, and there's a warped in this society that they want to say there's more than two genders. I'm telling you, listen, I wouldn't believe that if I was 7 years old. Amen. And I'm telling you what it is. You got a perverted society today that they want to try to mess up. They're trying to indoctrinate these young people and tell them that, listen, if you're a boy, you can be a girl. That's absurd this morning. Amen. God made a male and God made a female, and God, your sovereign creator decided who you was going to be. And I'm telling you, you honor him by being what God made you to be. Anything less than that is just fake, it's phony, and deep down they know it's not right, amen. And I pray that they get saved this morning, but I want all these young people to know that it's not right, amen. It's not Bible, amen. Abortion is sin, same-sex marriages is sin. All that's wickedness in the eyes of God. I'm telling you, if you're a boy, you're supposed to like a girl, and if you're a girl, you're supposed to like a boy. Anything else is unnatural affection, my friend, and God condemns it in his word. Hallelujah. It's all in this book, isn't it? And we've come so far in this society today that now not only does the foundations of our government being destroyed, but even the principles and the biblical principles and foundations of in our churches are being destroyed. When they're ordaining women to preach and they're ordaining sodomites to preach, would you have ever thought you'd have seen something like that in this society? But the foundations will be destroyed. What can the righteous do? If they pass their laws, they pass them. But we don't have to agree with it, amen. And the worst thing we can ever do is get silent on it. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, the reason we're in a mess we're in today is because people just got quiet and started making statements like, well, you can't say that in church. Or really, we don't want to get political in church. Isn't that interesting? When this Bible's a political book, and when our king comes back, you know what he's going to set up? A government. It's going to be on his shoulders. He's a political person. And I'll tell you, we got in real trouble when we started saying, well, we're not bringing politics in the pulpit. I'm telling you, listen, we ought to take this book. That's how our government was built, was on this book. And we're to give instruction based on the word of God this morning. Fear conquered and then facts considered. Look at verse number 4. In spite of what's happening around David, look where David tells us. He says, look where the Lord sits. He said, the Lord is in his holy temple. He said, the Lord's throne is in heaven. Look what the Lord sees in verse 4. He said, his eyes, behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I want you to see where the Lord stands. In verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. It's sad what's happening in America today. The bringing in of illegals, the tearing down of our borders. 12-year-old girl being raped and murdered by illegals. And our government so warped, giving them Social Security and places to live. While we pay taxes more than we've ever paid. And a carton of eggs is 2.5 times more than it was 4 years ago. Is that right? I'm telling you, if you get upset about a carton of eggs, you ought to get upset about abortion. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. I'm telling you, if you get mad about paying more for gasoline, and it aggravates you when you pull up to the pump and you know you got people, amen, that they're building high-rise apartments and putting them in for free, and they're giving them all kinds of free substances and things like that. Why our taxes go up, you can't hardly afford to own nothing anymore, amen, and we're the citizens and they're the illegals and they get what they want, amen. You know why? Because of this crooked government, amen. But I'm telling you, there is coming a reckoning day, amen. Amen. There's coming a time when the Lord that sits on the throne, he that sits on his holy temple, they may be having their parties and they may be doing their boozing and their drinking and they're living it up right now. I got news for this outfit. The king's coming. Amen. And when he comes, he's not taking a poll and he's not taking a vote and he's not going to listen. He's going to pass his own legislation. He's going to be large and in charge and he's going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. So facts considered. What the Lord sends, look at verse 6, upon the wicked, what's going to happen to them? He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. You know, if you're not saved this morning, you ought to get saved. Because that's what you got to look forward to if you don't get saved. Fire and brimstone, the damnation, the wrath of God. You know, God loves you this morning, sinner. It is not the will of God to put you in hell. It is the will of God to save your soul, but if you choose not to be saved, then God has no other alternative but to let you die without him and go to hell. If I was lost this morning, I'd get saved. I'd come to Jesus. And you know, God will save the vilest, the wickedest. God will save those politicians. God will save that North Korean dictator. Jesus died for him like everybody else. God will save those that are in China that have never heard the gospel. The facts considered, the fear conquered. Then finally, notice the faith that is confessed in verse 7. Look what verse 7 says. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. I notice that when this faith is confessed, he confesses the Lord's leadership, his love, and his looking. As he said, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. You know what we ought to love this morning? What God loves. We don't need to love perversion and worldliness and sinfulness. We need to love righteousness. If you're saved, you know why you love that book? Because it's a righteous book. You know why we don't bring in contemporary music and our church isn't going to be like a rock band and we don't have worldly and sensual music? Because we love righteousness, don't we? I'm not telling you where you've arrived and I'm not telling you that we are everything that we want to be. You know that's not true. We fall short. We all do. But our music ought to be heavenly. It ought to be holy. It ought to be distinctively different than what the world sings. You know, last night at the house, I was working outside past dark. And the fireworks, they started. And Chickamauga has some of the best fireworks. And the first firework that went off, man, I thought, somebody dropped a bomb here in Chickamauga. At least they thought they'd start in California, you know. I looked up and seen the skylight and thought, oh, it's firework time. And our family walked out in the street and we looked at the fireworks. But I could hear down the road the music that had been playing. It had been playing all afternoon. And I'm not critical to the world. The world does the only thing the world knows to do. That's their music, isn't it? They don't know God, so what else would they play? I'm not criticizing the world today. But when I heard that music later on in the day and I heard that music going on, you know what? It did not appeal to me whatsoever. It didn't make me want to go down there and listen. One, they couldn't sing very well, but don't tell them. But it didn't make me want to go down there and hear that. And I'll tell you, if they'd have been singing Amazing Grace, or if they'd have been singing Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I might have stopped what I was doing and walked a block for that. You say, why is that? Same reason is for you. We love righteousness, don't we? I'm not interested in somebody getting up here and giving a lecture this morning. Or getting up and saying, one time I had a guy, and I don't think he meant anything by it, but he said, you'll find your scriptural lesson. And I thought, oh, Lord, I messed up. We don't want to hear a scriptural lesson. That's for Sunday school. Can I get an amen? We want some old-time Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, heartfelt, leather, lung, sin-killing, devil-fighting preaching. That's what we need, ain't it? We don't want a scriptural lesson this morning. We're not having a Bible study right now. I'm not against Bible study, but right now it's preaching time, isn't it? But we love that because we love Him this morning. I ask you this question. A good way to know if you're saved is very simple. Do you love righteous things or do you love unrighteous things? Now, I could go and love something unrighteousness because that's my flesh. I could get drunk tonight like anybody else, God forbid, but I don't want to. And you that are saved, you don't want to. See, that's the difference. It's not that we're incapable of it. It's the fact that we don't want to. If I got drunk tonight or if I drank one beer, you know what it would do to me? It would immediately grieve my spirit. Because I know that God would not be pleased with that. And I also know He would chastise me for doing something like that. I'm telling you this morning, could I love rock music and country music? Oh, this flesh, I used to listen to it. I could hear a song from the 80s and my flesh, after all them years, can pull that song back up almost word for word, if not word for word. It's never forgot it. And if I stood there long enough, that foot would go to tapping. You ever done that? I'll go ahead and confess I have. So y'all can relax. I mean, just being a grocery store, you ain't paying no mind, and there's some music flashback from the 80s, and it's in the back of your... There, you ain't even paying no attention to that music. You're standing there, looking at whatever, and all of a sudden, have you ever done that? Look down and I thought, Lord. Danny, I thought, man, I hope nobody saw me doing that. He said, why'd you stop? Because I don't want to do that. That flesh didn't forget it. It went to patting that foot. But that Holy Spirit said, hey, son, what are you doing? I'm glad for the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you love the things of God. And if you're not saved, this is just boring to you. I wonder this morning as they come and get us a song ready. I know I've preached on everything, but I planned on it when I got here. I wonder this morning as we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to know, if you're a sinner and you're lost, this will be the greatest day to get saved because it's the Lord's day. It's Sunday. I know it's a special day, Stars and Stripes Sunday, but more than celebration of our country, this is a special day because this is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus, you come out of the grave so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. And He loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. And He wants to save you this morning. And I'm telling you, if you're lost, God will save you. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. I don't care how you've lived. He'll take you just as you are. If you'll come down that aisle and get on your knees and say, dear God, I'm a sinner. Would you save my soul? If you'll trust what Jesus did on the cross to save you, then He will save your soul. You say, how you know that, Brother Gravel? Because I remember one day when I did. I come from a family of drunks. I didn't know John 3:16, but I heard the gospel one day. And I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew that. And I knew there was no way I'd ever be able to save myself. And I knew I was destined to go to hell if I died in the condition I was in. I tell you, as a boy, I just come down the aisle and somebody took a Bible and said, you can be saved. Hey, look at me. They showed me how to be saved. And I read what they read, or I looked at what they said. And they said, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? I said, I do. They said, do you believe you're a sinner? I said, I do. Do you believe if you died right now, you'd go to hell? I said, I do. And I really did believe that. Do you believe if you'll ask him to save you, that he'll save you? I said, I do. And I got a hold of the back of that little kitchen chair. And I didn't know what to say to God, but I just said to God, I bowed my head. I said, Lord, don't send me to hell. Don't send me to hell. And I said it that last time. I said, Lord, don't send me to hell. And I'm going to tell you, after that third time, probably the first time was just as good. But after that third time, I heard a little still small voice say, hey, you don't have to say that no more. And I really believe God saved my soul that day. And I couldn't quote John 3:16, but I walked out of that little storefront building saved. 6 months later, went down to Rock Creek. I got showed up that day, Brother Jason. I didn't no more plan on getting baptized, nothing. They had baptism that morning. I joined, went down to Rock Creek. I walked in shoes, socks, everything. No towel. Got back on that bus, went home sopping wet. Walked in the front door. My mom said, what in the world happened to you? I said, I got baptized today. And I'm telling you, it's real this morning. God is real, isn't he? And living for Jesus is real. I'm so glad it ain't about formalism and going. I'm telling you, this is more than going to church this morning. It's every day, it's real. He's so precious. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? Our heads are bowed. Christians are praying.